When I was first getting started in serious Bible study, one of my favorite preachers and authors was a guy named G. Campbell Morgan. He was an English preacher from the first half of the 20th century. You might hear his name quite a bit through this study on the Ten Commandments. I've used his book quite a bit. And he and his wife had four sons, all of whom became ministers. So the father and four sons were all preachers. And one of them, Howard Moody Morgan, who was named after the evangelist D.L. Moody, later in his life admitted, "I plead guilty to being the boy who, when asked who was the greatest preacher in the Morgan clan, looked straight at my father and said, 'Mother.'" Now, as we continue our study of the Ten Commandments for the 21st century, we have come to the fifth commandment this morning: honor your father and your mother. And no, it's not a coincidence that we're considering this commandment on Mother's Day. This morning, we are going to see the role that honor plays in the home and how that is important in other areas of our life as well. Warren Wiersbe writes, "In a world that worships and imitates youth and uses assisted suicide to eliminate unwanted old people, this commandment sounds like an echo from a time warp. But the Jews were taught to respect age and to care for their senior citizens. It's a good example for us to follow today. Someone has said that the elderly are the only outcast group everybody expects to join, because nobody wants the alternative. But how we treat them today will help determine how we're treated tomorrow, because we reap what we sow." This is an important topic in our day and age, and increasingly so, as we see society get further and further away from what God has intended. Paul writes in 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, "Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Does that sound just a little bit familiar? Kind of sounds like the direction we're headed as a society, doesn't it? And notice that in the midst of all of these terrible characteristics of people in the last times, right in the middle of it is disobedient to parents. How we treat mom and dad is indicative of the kind of people we are. You see this also in Romans chapter 1, something we covered last Sunday night. As you see sin kind of snowball and get worse and worse as a culture, Paul writes in Romans 1:29, "They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents." There it is again. Enlisting the crimes of culture, disobedience to parents makes the list. Now, I imagine most people today don't think of disobeying parents as a threat to society, but God does, because it begins in the home. That entire fifth commandment reads from Exodus 20, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Paul echoes this in Ephesians 6, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, many scholars will divide the Ten Commandments into two sections: how we treat God, how we treat others. This is why when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second, love your neighbor as yourself. On all these, the law and the prophets hang. What Jesus did there was summarize the Ten Commandments: how we treat God, how we treat others. And isn't it significant that he deals first in our interpersonal relationships with family life? He starts at home. In showing our duty to our neighbor, he begins not by telling how kings ought to reign, not how soldiers ought to fight, how merchants ought to conduct their business, but how children should act at home. Because that is where it all begins. It starts at home. Walter Kaiser sees a connection between this command and the commands that follow it. So the context in which the commandments were given could be read this way: honoring your father and mother, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. Why do you not do those things? In honoring your parents. So as not to bring a bad name onto them, so as not to bring them grief. That's a way we honor our mom and dad, and it all begins at home. Now, I'd like to begin this morning with the premise of honor. What do we mean when it says honor your father and your mother? Now, in the original Hebrew language, the word honor means heavy. Now, I realize that on Mother's Day, I'm treading on really thin ice at this point. But understand that in that culture, they weren't talking about the size of a person. They're talking about how important they are. You may hear of people speak of a weighty matter, meaning it's important. This is something we need to pay attention to. There are places in the Old Testament where it literally reads, God is heavy. It doesn't mean that God is overweight. It means God is important. He commands and demands our respect and our honor. And so it's really has to do with being worthy of respect, prizing them highly, caring and showing affection to them, showing them respect, reverence. The Good News Bible actually uses respect in this command. Respect your father and mother. Over in Leviticus 19:3, each of you must respect his father and mother, for I am the Lord. It's very important to God that we show this honor. Now, that doesn't mean we always agree with them. But we always treat them with respect and regard. I know there are parents who may not earn respect. There are parents who may not bring us up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. There are parents who can be very selfish themselves. They can be misguided, or they can just simply be mean-spirited. We all hear of parents that are abusive or that are neglectful in their duties. And yet God tells us to honor them, to respect them. Even though they may not earn it, even though they may not even be right, we still give them honor. And we're going to see the importance of that later on. See, God has instituted the family as the basic unit of society. If the home breaks down, there is no hope for the human race. It must begin at home. And a person's first experience with authority is going to be with mom and dad. If a child learns to respect this first authority, he faces in life, he's more likely to respect authority later on. For example, in Malachi 1 verse 6, God says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where's the respect due me?" He's making a connection here. How a child responds to his parents can be a reflection on how they're going to respond to God later on. If a child grows up in an atmosphere where there is no respect, there is no honor, disobedience is not dealt with, disrespect is not dealt with, how are they going to react to a God they can't see? This is an important principle, that it begins at home. And as that child grows, they're going to be put in other situations where they're going to have to deal with authority. They go off to school, and there's a teacher and a principal. They go off and get a job, and there's a foreman, maybe a shift manager, and then a general manager. Even if you own your own business, you still have to deal with the governing authorities. Everywhere in life, there's always somebody we answer to. And ultimately, we all answer to God. And so it's very important that a child at a young age be taught how to react and respond to authority. Paul tells us in Romans 13 that to rebel against government authority, which God has established, is to rebel against God. The same can be said at home. To rebel against mom and dad is to rebel against God. Plain and simple. And it's important that you learn it first at home, because if they don't learn it at home, they're probably not going to learn it anywhere else. So this is the role of honor in our lives. The home becomes the classroom where honor is taught, and the first course is honoring mom and dad. So parents, this is a great responsibility we have. Don't wait until they go to school and let the schools teach them. Don't wait until they get out on their own. It's too late. They need to learn it at home. And it'll help them later on in life, wherever they go. God gave this relationship very high priority, I believe, because ultimately it leads to honoring himself. As D.L. Moody once wrote, "The tree grows the way the twig is bent." That's very true. The direction or lack thereof that we give to our children when they're young is going to affect them later in life. So if the premise of honor is to respect and regard, what's it look like? What is the practice of honor in our daily lives? And there's several scriptures that shed light on this matter. In Proverbs chapter 1, we read, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Also in Proverbs 23:22, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Honor here is linked to listening. And listening is a skill that must be taught, because it doesn't come naturally. In Proverbs 15:33, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor comes humility." Again, this has to be taught, because it goes against the grain of our human nature. By nature, we're proud people. And it starts at a young age. What is the first word a baby learns after they learn mama and daddy? No, right? Usually is around the age of 2. And right after that, they learn the word mine, right? Because everything is mine. I have never heard or seen a parent stand over a crib and say, "Listen to me, repeat after me." No. Right? mine. No, you don't do that. You try to have them say mommy and daddy, you know. I've never seen a parent teach a three-year-old how to throw a tantrum. Have you? Any of your parents ever teach you how to throw a tantrum? When you don't get your way, throw yourself on the floor, kick and scream, you know. No, it comes naturally. Why? We're all born that way. And that's why it's so important for parents to teach children how to listen, how to honor, how to have humility. In Ephesians 6, passage we mentioned a little bit earlier, Paul links honoring to obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience is something that must be taught. Now, this doesn't mean that a child should obey if their parents' orders are directly in defiance to God's word. But quite honestly, most of the time, that isn't the case. When I was told, go clean your room, I could search and search and search for a Bible verse that would say I wouldn't have to do that, but I'm not going to find it. Right? We need to learn at a young age what it means to obey. Now, there may be times a little later in life where a child is forced to step outside that authority because what their parents are telling them to do is wrong. But that's a very serious step that needs to be undertaken with a lot of prayer. Make sure that you are indeed obeying God's authority and not just stepping out on your own. You know, too often it's taken for granted that this commandment only is given to young children. Obey your parents, listen to your parents, honor your parents until you get out of the house, and then it doesn't matter anymore. Nothing could be further from the truth. You know, of course it applies early on, just chronologically, but it continues throughout our lives. The word honor means more than just obedience. It means to respect, it means to revere, and later on in life it means even to take care of. We do have a responsibility for our parents. Unfortunately, in our culture, we let the state take over. We let the government step in, and they'll take care of our parents when they get older. We've lost that sense of children looking out for their parents. And I'll tell you, it warms my heart to see individuals bringing their elderly parents to church, or seeing them out sharing a meal with them or spending time with them, because there are so many who long to spend time. One of the local news stations did a little survey of people. What would you really like for Mother's Day? And you know what most of the women said? I would like for my children to be here. They don't want a gift. They don't want flowers. They don't want stuff. They would just love time. They would love to spend some time with their children. Honoring them, even as they get older. Looking out for them. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And that's not just talking about parents providing for their children. I think it's also talking about grown children looking out for their aged parents. I think that works both ways. To honor our parents means to obey them in our younger years, to support them in their older years, and to respect them through all the years. Now I want to conclude this morning by considering the promise of honor. Paul mentions in Ephesians 6 that the fifth commandment is the first with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. I'll be honest with you, when I first learned that passage as a young person, I took it extraordinarily literally. If you don't obey your parents, you will not live long on the earth. And I think my mom and dad might have had a little bit of a hand in my thinking that way. Some of you may have heard lines like, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out, right? Make another one looks just like you. I never heard those lines exactly. But there was always that, gentle reminder that you'd better listen. And you need to obey, because there would be consequences. Now, in the time of Moses, there was a literal component to this commandment. If you go into the very next chapter of the book of Exodus, Exodus 21, verse 15, anyone who attacks his father or mother must be put to death. Two verses later, anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Think God took this seriously? Yes, he did. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard." Then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. They did not take disrespecting parents and disobeying parents lightly. Now, that is part of the civil law of the land of Israel. We don't live there. We don't have capital punishment for disobeying parents and disrespecting them. I've got a feeling if we did, number one, there'd be a whole lot less of us around. And there probably would be at least a show of obedience and respect if it wasn't genuine. But the idea here, I think, goes beyond just the literal, your life will end if you disobey. It does shape the direction of our later life. And how many people, especially young people, how many people do you hear that throw their life away because they will not listen to anybody? They don't listen to mom and dad. They don't listen to teachers. They don't listen to the police and the law. They don't listen to nobody because nobody's going to tell me what to do. And foolishly, they throw their lives away. Some of you may remember about 30 years ago or so, there was a young man that came out of the University of Maryland, just an excellent basketball player. This guy was a beast. He's about 6'8", built. He could score, he could rebound, he could defend. He was considered one of the top players in the country. He was brought up by a godly mother who kept him away from drugs and alcohol and these bad influences. And they figured this kid's got a great future ahead of him. He was drafted number 2 in the NBA draft to the Boston Celtics, one of the great premier franchises in all pro basketball. He just had the world ahead of him. And the night of the draft, at a party thrown in his honor, one of his friends came up to him and said, "Hey, you ought to try this. This stuff's called cocaine. It'll blow your mind." And he'd never done it before. He'd always known not to take these things into your body. But one time he said, "You know what? Everybody's doing it. Why not?" And he took a little too much and he died. Threw his life away for not listening to how he had been raised. And all of the voices around him saying, "Don't do it, don't do it. Oh, one time's not going to hurt." And he did it. He died. That made headlines all over the country. Everybody knew of Len Bias and how he threw his life away. Less than a year later, a young football player for the Cleveland Browns, on the night before he was to be married, is at a party and someone comes along and says, "Hey, try this stuff. It'll blow your mind." And for the first time, he tried cocaine and died. And once again, you say, how tragic that a young man with so much of his life ahead of him throws it away. I would add to that, how stupid, because just a year ago you saw the same thing happen and you say, "Oh, it's not going to happen to me." Again, not paying attention to instruction. And how many of our young people, oh, that's not, you know, that happens to everybody else, not going to happen to me. There's a sense of invincibility. And then tragedy strikes. And so many of them say, oh, how could God let this happen? Oh, please. We need to teach from a young age to respect voices of authority. Respect our parents. I'm not saying that every time somebody steps outside of their parents' instruction, they're going to drop over dead. None of us would be alive. But what I am saying is that there are times when if we would just listen, we would keep ourselves out of danger. Proverbs 19:16 says, he who obeys instruction guards his soul, but he who is contemptuous in his ways will die. It may not be at 18 or 20 years old. There are those who, according to one song, throw their lives away each day in what's called slow motion suicide. But it all comes from the same thing. I know better than everybody else. I'm not going to listen. Nobody's telling me what to do. And where does that start? It starts at home. And it's our job as parents to do what we can. Now, there's no guarantees. I think of Len Bias's mother. She did everything she could to raise her child right. And there comes a time when they're going to be old enough to make decisions on their own, and they may not listen to you, but you at least have to give them that chance. At least give them the opportunity to know what it means to honor, respect, and obey. So that when they get to school and when they get on the job and when they get out on their own, they know how to relate to people. They won't be tossed from one job to another because they can't relate to their superiors. They can live a life the way God intended for them to live. Maybe they won't be wealthy, maybe they won't live to an old age, but they may keep themselves from some of the foolish things that take lives early. Just by that honor of authority. Now, to be truthful to the passage, this is not promising longevity of life. What Moses actually said was, so that you will live long in the land God is giving you. All right. So the idea here is tied more to national longevity than it is individual. And you see this reflected because in Ezekiel chapter 22, when God is making a list of reasons why his people are going to lose that promised land, high up on the list was they have treated father and mother with contempt. You don't think God pays attention to that? He does. And it matters to him. And the way we treat mom and dad will often carry into our lives into how we treat others in authority, how we respond when we're told what to do, especially when we don't like it. It has a long way to determine the kind of people we are. And I also think, maybe most importantly, it reflects how we respond to God's authority. If we don't respect our father and our mother on earth, how are we going to respect our father in heaven? If we cannot honor and listen to and obey our parents that we see, how are we going to honor, obey, and respect a father we can't see? I'm not suggesting that honoring father and mother earns you salvation. I'm just saying that the principle of how we relate in one area of our life carries over to the next. And how we treat our parents, I think, reflects on our testimony for Christ. D.L. Moody writes very strongly, "You may be a professing Christian, but I wouldn't give much for your religion unless it gets into your life and teaches you how to live. I wouldn't give a snap of my finger for a religion that doesn't begin at home and regulate your conduct toward your parents. How can we claim to love our Father in heaven if we disrespect our mother or father here on earth? And so on this Mother's Day, we're reminded of the importance of the honor role in our lives. Parents, make sure you're teaching this to your children. I know it's hard work. I know your children aren't going to appreciate it at the time. But in the end, it'll help to make them responsible people in all areas of life. And children of all ages, honor your mother and your father. You say, but my mother doesn't deserve it. Doesn't matter. That's on her. And she'll stand before God and give an account to the kind of person she is. But throughout Scripture, we are told, you give honor and respect whether it's earned or not. Wives are told, be submissive to your husbands, even those who are unkind and cruel. Slaves, obey your masters, even those who are unfair and harsh. You honor the authority of the government, even when an evil dictator like Nero is on the throne. Why? Because we are only called to be responsible for our attitudes and actions. We're not called to be responsible for theirs. And if we can learn to live with honor and respect, it'll help us through every area of our lives. And it ought to begin at home. That's where it begins. I know for myself, I owe a lot to my parents. They raised me to respect authority, to love and obey God, and to treat others with respect and regard. Now, I don't know if I would classify her as the greatest preacher of our family, but I know that if they were here with me today, my father and both of my brothers would, in the words of Proverbs 31:28, rise up and call her blessed. And I agree with Chuck Swindoll, Mother's Day should not just be one day a year. We should show them our honor and our love and our respect every day. I'd like to close this morning by reading the final words of Proverbs 31, verses 30 and 31, in honor of my mother and my wife, who are both here today. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.